Yeah!
Well, that is definitely great news about Dwight Howard. I was concerned there, John. If Dwight Howard would have decided to sit out the rest of, I wouldn't have blamed him. What, you know, it's a personal decision, but I don't think the Lakers would have been favored to win the championship without Dwight Howard.
I don't know. They still have LeBron and AD, and LeBron and AD are going to play more minutes. They're both going to play 40 minutes in the postseason.
Wait a minute. So you still would have favored the Lakers had Dwight Howard sat out along with Avery Bradley?
Do you want to have a moment of honesty here, Charlotte?
Yeah.
Do you want me to make up a BS thing?
No, I'm just telling
what
the
happens,
truth.
What happens to me if I don't favor the Lakers?
I don't know. What do you mean, what happens to you if you
really,
don't favor
you don't?
No.
I'd be fired. Of course I'd favor
no, you the wouldn't. You're allowed to say, I think it's an uphill climb. I think
really?
It would be
that's
difficult
how you,
to
that's
win.
How you want, that's how you want to play this?
Yeah. Why? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with honesty?
Okay. I honestly would favor the Lakers no matter what because they have LeBron and AD.
Okay, so that's the company line?
Well, you just said that I apparently can say whatever I want, so that's what I want to say. Can't believe you're this stupid.
But wait a minute. Do you want to say it because you want to say it, or
yeah,
do you want to
oh,
say
yes.
it because...
I want to, I am. No, I would. I would favor the Lakers because they have LeBron and AD. How are you going to guard LeBron and AD for 40 minutes?
Yeah, I would be really concerned. Dwight Howard has played a huge role. Avery Bradley, although they are, I noticed today, they are 17-3 without Avery Bradley this year. 17-3 without
yeah.
Avery Bradley.
And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has been really good.
He's been really good, and Caruso's been great.
Here's
one
the
of
thing.
The most
there's
efficient guards in the league.
There's a reason LeBron had made it to 8 straight finals until last year, and then he got hurt. There's a reason. I mean, if you have LeBron, your chances of going to the finals increase, what's the word, exponentially. It is it's the number one thing you want if you're trying to make it to the finals is to have LeBron on your team. And now you have LeBron and a healthy AD. Now, would I be shocked if somebody like the Clippers made it to the finals? No, because they have Kawhi and he's really good. But if you made me bet it, I would bet on the Lakers because they have the two best players that are on the same team. Like, if you take any, like, Kawhi and Paul George are good.
Yeah, great.
Giannis and, you know, I guess the second best player on that team
is Chris Middleton.
Yeah, they're good. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are good. But the best two players on the same team are on the Lakers. And that's the reason they're in first place in the West. And that's the reason I would pick them.
I think the Clippers, I think the Lakers would beat the Clippers if they see them in the postseason. I think Milwaukee would be really, really tough. The scary thing about Milwaukee, I was looking at them today. You know, Giannis, despite all of, you know, the winning that they have done, has been averaging just 30 minutes per game. He's been doing all of his damage in an average of 30 minutes per game.
Right. Well, LeBron only plays 34. I mean, it and in the finals, by the way, I mean, not even in the finals, in the playoffs, those numbers go way up.
Oh, yeah. No, they'll go way up. There'll be way more Giannis.
Right. LeBron's playing the fewest minutes per game of his career. And I would imagine so is Giannis. I mean, that's kind of the movement in the NBA is to do it that way. But I would take the Lakers against anybody if Dwight was playing or not. Now, the fact that Dwight is playing is a big deal. But Dwight, how many, I mean, maybe you know this, how many minutes a game do you think Dwight averages?
Was it like 15, 18, something like that?
19.
19.
Yeah, 19 minutes a game. So, I mean, it's a big and he's been great. I don't
– Well, plus AD doesn't love playing – he doesn't love playing the five.
I don't know if they have – I don't think they do. They don't have comeback player of the year anymore, do they?
No, they've gotten rid of that.
If they did, I'd vote for Dwight.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think that he's been that significant for the Lakers this year. So I'm glad he's going to play, and I'm glad he seems to have found some peace with it. And if I'm being really open about this whole thing – if his number one concern would be promoting social justice, he can do that better playing than not playing. Now he's going to be in a spotlight where people are going to give him a platform to talk almost every other day. And I mean, matter of fact, if you wanted to talk to Dwight on an off day, I don't know if the Lakers are going to make him available, but I think it gives him the best opportunity to promote his platform along with the Lakers. Stuff.
And plus, Tom, along with that, John, he donated the remainder of his salary for this season, which is about $700,000, to the charitable initiative Breathe Again. So he's really putting his money where his mouth is, too. Not only is he going to participate in the restart of the league and the playoffs and use that platform to raise awareness for social justice issues, he's actually donating $700,000 to this initiative called Breathe Again. So he's really doing it. He's really living it.
And he does give the Lakers a great – he's, you know, Dwight Howard is an – I mean, you could make the argument. I know that people look at Dwight because of his first stint with the Lakers as somewhat of a disappointment in a Laker uniform, but I would argue he's reversed all of that this year. And if you study the entirety of his career, Dwight Howard is one of the elite defensive players in NBA history. I mean, that's how good of a defender he is. And defense wins championships. He's a three-time Defensive Player of the Year. Three times.
Yeah.
He's been on the all-defensive team four times. He's a five-time NBA rebounding leader. He's a two-time blocks leader.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, absolutely, without any question.
He makes the Lakers better just by showing up.
Yeah, and he brings some great energy off the bench, and he's part of that cohesive unit, that group that celebrates, right? This is a team that celebrates together. They remind me a little bit of some of those Dodgers teams we've seen in the past, where they've got the bubble machine and they've got all that sort of they've got a lot of celebratory energy around this team, and that's how you know that they're getting along and that there's really, really good chemistry. By the way, Lakers in the ESPN power rankings, I don't know if you've seen these.
They're third, right?
They're third behind the Clippers and Milwaukee. Now, you could make a case that Milwaukee is number one in those power rankings. I don't know how you make the Clippers number two in the power rankings, given the fact that the Lakers just beat the Clippers before we went to the break.
I guess the argument would be that they're 2-1 against the Lakers. But you, as you point out, the most recent meeting was a Laker win. So I think by the way, I know you don't want it to happen. I know you want the Clippers to lose early.
Lose early.
I really want that to happen. I think it'd be great for us. It'd be great for the city. I want to call those games. I'd love to be. I'm always the one, like I've always told you this, that I want USC football to be undefeated when they get to UCLA, because I want UCLA to be the one to wreck their season.
I want UCLA to just embarrass themselves every year. And
right.
Thank you, Chip Kelly, for doing that.
Yeah, well, the Lakers, though, I want the Lakers to be the one to knock the Clippers out. You don't, right? You want somebody else to knock them out.
Oh, I'd like to see the Clippers go out in the first round.
Yeah.
Why would you not want your potentially chief competitor to lose before they get to you?
Because I'm in the live events business. I'm in the ratings business. Lakers-Clippers means big ratings for us. It means lots of things for us to talk about.
I'm in the easiest path business.
Yeah, you can have it.
Easiest path to a championship. Easiest path to a socially distanced parade down Figueroa.
Okay, so would you be in favor of Kawhi getting hurt?
No, like, I'm not. I'm never in favor of anybody getting hurt.
But that would be the easiest path.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
That's where you would draw the line.
I would not wish anybody to be hurt.
Yeah,
but I would love to see Dallas upset the Clippers in the first round.
Is that who the Clippers would play if the standing stayed?
Yeah, the 2-7.
I'm telling you that Dallas is good, man.
Yeah, yeah. Dallas and the Clippers in the first round. I would love to see Dallas win that game.
Now, I watched a Dallas Clippers game this year, and the Clippers just waxed them. But Luka's really good. Porzingis healthy could be really dangerous.
Yep.
I think that's a real series. I think that goes at least six.
Yeah, I think it does, too. I think that's a real series. All right, coming up next, Dwight Howard from CNN last night, actually.
Yeah, it's like Don Lemon the only one Dwight will talk to now?
Yeah, Dwight loves Don Lemon.
It's very weird.
I would have liked Dwight to make the announcement right here.
Have we ever had Dwight on this show?
No, we had him on Media Day. I don't think we've had him other than that.
He's very nice to me when I see him. He's a super nice guy.
Plus Danny Green on Dwight coming back, and Kyle Kuzma.
Who is Kyle
It's a Zoom
Zoomer?
Press conference.
Oh, Kyle Kuzma did a Zoomer.
He did a Zoomer, and he'll talk about Dwight joining the Lakers in Orlando. All that's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. It is Tuesday. Linz is off today, but we've got both Adam Bronstein and Funch on the scene.
We are fully staffed.
We are loaded up, and Dwight Howard appeared. For some reason, Dwight Howard has a special relationship with Don Lemon. He always goes on Don Lemon's show to make major announcements, and last night he appeared with Don Lemon on CNN and said this.
You know, I know basketball will most likely resume, and, you know, I feel like we have a great opportunity, the Lakers do, for winning the title this year.
So let me ask you this, because I made it plain last time, and I want to make it plain again. You said this is not about you not wanting to play basketball.
It's not about that, because, you know, Don, you know, I have an obligation.
You're going to play.
Listen, I have a contractual obligation to my teammates, to my fans, the Lakers, the organization, and everyone. But at the same time, I also have an obligation to my family and my community. So, yes, I will be joining my team in Orlando.
So there you have it. There's Dwight Howard from last night. And by the way, just to put a finer point on this, he is officially donating the $700,000 he would make for this restart and the playoffs. He's donating that to a charitable initiative called Breathe Again. So he's doing both things. He's raising awareness. He's making donations. And he's also going to be playing on an enormous platform that gives them a chance to profile social justice issues. Now, Danny Green, I coined a new expression, apparently, going to break there. A Zoom press conference can now be referred to as a Zoomer.
Why not?
Yeah. So Danny Green did a Zoomer today. Here he is on Dwight coming back.
I think everybody knows what kind of presence he's been for us. He's obviously a key piece. Everyone's a key piece on our team. Took a hit when Avery opted out, but we got a lot of good pieces. We got a lot of experience, and Dwight has been a good spark for us off the bench, playing protector, and it actually changed a lot of games for us. I have been in communication with him. I checked on him even before, you know, he was deciding not to play because he was going through a lot when the pandemic first hit and started. So I was making sure I was checking in on him. But as of late, I think we all have spoken to him and checked in on him. Happy for the news. I mean, it wasn't surprised to me. He said I had been talking to him. But it seems as if his news has been on CNN a lot or other networks. But I'm glad he's with us. I'm glad he's on board. And I'm excited to have my guys back again in the bubble.
So, John, here's a question, just completely unrelated. Dwight Howard goes on with Don Lemon.
Yeah.
If you're going to make an announcement and you can pick any cable news show to do it on, who do you pick?
Can I go off the board? I'm dead serious. I would, you know what I would do?
What?
If I had some like major announcement to make,
yep,
just to see if it would fly, or
yep,
like if it would like turn into something,
yep,
I would make the announcement on the Venice Mage Culture Pop podcast.
I think that's an excellent idea. You couldn't find a more high-profile vehicle than the Culture Pop podcast.
It would secure my position as the top podcast of all time is tenuous. But if I made a major announcement on your podcast, I would cement my legacy forever.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would.
Now, so I don't duck your question.
Yep.
If I was going to go on a cable news show, and it has to be cable.
Has to be cable. Cable news, so you got Fox News Channel, you got CNN, you got MSNBC.
Okay, can I go on SportsCenter? Does that count?
Nope, cable news. Just like Dwight Howard chose a cable news network.
The highest rated one of those is Fox News, and the lowest rated one is MSNBC.
Right.
But I think in the minds of most people, those two are polarizing.
But which show do you have an affinity, which host do you have an affinity for, politics aside?
Well, the show most likely to have a train wreck is Cuomo. So I might go there just because he might start like lifting dumbbells on the air while I'm doing it or something.
All about Chris Cuomo. He is so friggin' good.
The Fox shows are just too out there, and so are the MSNBC shows for that matter. They're both so left and so right. I think I'm probably going to Cuomo.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to Cuomo. Let's get after it. Cuomo. You know what he is? He's like playing the role of a news personality.
Yeah,
He's
like the WWE of cable news.
Right. He's like in on the joke, though.
Yeah.
Like he's in on it.
Like Jim Ross. You know who Jim Ross is?
No.
Jim Ross was the voice of the WWE. He's a really good play-by-play guy. Like, he hypes up the moment, whatever
right.
it is. Like, there's all this stuff. Like, if you go on YouTube and you just type in Jim Ross calls chess, like, people have gone back and found all of his old calls and Jim Ross calls golf. When Vince McMahon started the XFL,
yep.
he hired Jim Ross as his lead announcer.
Yep.
Because Chris Cuomo is the Jim Ross of cable news.
Get after it.
Yeah, that's something Jim Ross would do.
That's something George Sedano and I bonded over, was our love for the hammy Chris Cuomo. He's hammy. That's what he is.
That's a very that's a very good point. But I don't know. Don Lemon, I guess Dwight has a previous relationship with him. Like, he's because this isn't the first time he's gone on that show.
No, he was on this show a couple of weeks ago.
So maybe he's just had good luck with it and he feels comfortable with them and he goes from there.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to a Zoomer. This is Kyle Kuzma on Dwight Howard now officially joining the Lakers in Orlando.
Dwight, he's been a great teammate all year. He's been a teammate that's always been there for people on and off the floor, playing with no ego, you know, just having one common goal. And, you know, we're just happy to have him, you know, come back and be able to join our team for Orlando. And I think it's great for us.
So Kuzma, you know, it's these guys had something going as we
I was just looking at something that's related to what we're talking about. You know, you mentioned that if the playoffs started today, the Clippers would have to play Dallas.
Yes.
Okay, that's a very tenuous position that Dallas is in. Dallas is seventh. Okay?
Yeah, that's all super tight.
Houston is a game and a half ahead of them in sixth. Now, Houston would give the Clippers a series.
Sure.
Oklahoma City is also a game and a half ahead of Dallas. Houston and Oklahoma City are tied with identical 40-24 records. Utah is only one game better than that. They're 41-23. And Denver is only a game and a half better than Utah. So between third and seventh, where Dallas is a four-game win. Like, there's only four games that separate one, two,
right.
three, four, five teams. We want the Clippers to have to play Dallas or Houston. I think that, or you do, because I wouldn't mind Lakers-Clippers, but you want the Clippers out.
Yeah.
If they get Dallas...
In a dramatic seven-game series, they go out in the first round to Dallas.
Okay, so here's... Have you ever heard this before, that one way you can tell who the best team is every year?
Yeah.
Is point differential?
Yeah, sure.
Like, almost every year, the team with the best point, that's how many points you score...
Total.
Minus how many points you give up.
Yeah.
All right, like, for example, do you know who has the best point differential in the NBA this year?
Milwaukee.
Yeah, 11.2. They're the only ones with double-digit point differential. The Lakers are second, 7.4. Okay? Clippers are third, 6.5. But Dallas, even though they're seventh, is at 6.1.
Wow.
They're at four, like they're ahead in point differential of Denver, Utah, OKC, Houston. We want Dallas to stay right where they are.
Yeah.
Dallas stays seventh. That means the Clippers would open up against Dallas and then probably have to play Denver in the second round.
So who, as a Laker fan, do you want to see in the – actually, we're going to take some calls today. Let's take some calls today. I think this is an interesting question. Who of the potential second-round matchups do you think is the easiest matchup for the Lakers?
Well, if they would have gone right to the playoffs, Mace,
yep.
with this schedule, it would have been perfect for the Lakers. They would have opened up against Memphis, a team they beat four times during the regular season,
yep.
and then they would have played the winner of Utah and Oklahoma City. All of the other teams that might put a little scare in you would have been in the other side of the bracket.
Yeah.
The Clippers, the Nuggets, the Rockets, and the Mavericks. You would only have to play one. But because of this eight-game in the regular season, in the bubble, eight-game stretch,
yeah,
all this is going to shuffle. Because, like I said, between Denver,
it's all close, yeah.
Yeah. So, but if it ended this way, it would be really good for the Lakers. It just won't.
Utah is the team that I would most like to play in the second round.
Well, especially because Bogdanovich
is hurt.
He's done.
He's
done for the year.
And he was having a monster year for them.
And, you know, depending on who you believe, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert may be feuding. And then Oklahoma City, I think, is a year away. They've been a great surprise story this year, but I think they're probably a year away.
Yeah, I agree. And Houston is a wild card because they had sort of run out of gas in their small ball approach.
Or did they?
Well, they kind of limped in.
They beat the Lakers.
They did beat the Lakers, but it seemed like it peaked. It seems like it peaked. You could only play P.J. Tucker at center, I think, for so long.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think that if you look at the way Houston was playing, I mean, they did go through kind of a swoon, but at the same time, I think they lost four of their last five. Right before that, they won six in a row. And they beat they beat Boston twice. They beat Utah in that six game swing.
Yeah, but I mean they went on to lose to the Knicks. They got whacked by the Clippers. Got whacked by Charlotte. Whacked by Orlando. That was a 20-point loss to Orlando. And then finally beat Minnesota. I think you can only get by. I think it's an interesting experiment, and I'm interested to see how it plays out. But I don't think. I think that it would be an entertaining series against Houston, but I don't think they give the Lakers any run.
Because of Westbrook and Harden, and remember, Westbrook and Harden are going to play more minutes in the playoffs. I would rather have them in the other side of the bracket. But we'll see. 877-710-ESPN.
Yeah, 877-710-ESPN. We're going to get some phone calls in here today. Also, Dave McMenamin is going to join us coming up. He's going to be with us at 4:15, top of the hour, 4 o'clock. We've got all of your headlines in the scoop. And I'm waiting to hear back from Jerry Hairston, who is now in for 5 o'clock.
Oh, good.
Jerry Hairston Jr. is going to be with us at 5 o'clock. Dodgers actually showed last night on Sportsnet LA. A dip into the intra-squad game that was going on last night. I watched Clayton Kershaw strike out Mookie Betts in Mookie Betts' first at-bat as a Dodger. So we'll get to Jay Hare coming up, too. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, what is up? John, I'm trying to salvage what is left of this quarantine. I've been out walking in the mornings. I've been doing my yoga every day. I'm trying to eat healthy. I'm trying to tail off a little bit on the weed, although last night was another how does Ezekiel Elliott describe it, Funch?
Maybe
probably not that.
Sorry guys, I'm the one on the board, so I got to try to find where all your stuff
Low-key fade is what it was last night. But I'm trying to come out of this a little bit better than I went into it. And Ireland,
do they still deliver weed if you need it?
Oh, yeah. It's essential.
Okay.
Believe me. It's essential. it's been a long quarantine.
Well, as you know, I wouldn't know. But I'm glad to hear that your needs are being taken care of.
Yes, they are. Thank you very much to the people at Ease. John... This is just in, and I find this to be upsetting. The opening night for the MLS, which was supposed to be tonight, is that correct?
I don't know, but I know that there are. Are you talking about the game that got canceled between Nashville and Chicago?
Yeah, Nashville and Chicago, which has been postponed. The league announced today 5 Nashville players tested positive for Corona. Since arriving in Orlando last week, 2 players received positive results last weekend. The other 3 received positive results Monday night. In addition, four other players received test results that were inconclusive and require more testing. They were supposed to play tomorrow night as the kickoff game at the ESPN Wide World of Sports complex. So the Welcome Back MLS tournament has been postponed, at least for the moment.
Now, this is, you and I actually have a difference of opinion on this. I think this is going to happen in all the sports. I think that, and I don't necessarily think it's a big deal. I think, remember, because there's no fans, postponing a game or calling off a game is not the end of the world like it would normally be. For example, they just, as soon as these guys get out of quarantine, they can reschedule this game because they're all down there in that bubble. If you have to wait a night, like, and what did you say, four players were inconclusive or two?
Four were inconclusive.
And five had tested positive?
Yes.
All right, so once you, you know, if you get the word on the four that are good and you quarantine those other ones for 4 days, then you just reschedule that game later in the week. I think this might happen in baseball. It could happen in the NBA. NFL would be the hardest thing to move because an NFL game is a lot of moving parts.
But really, it's hard for baseball. They have 60 games in 66 days.
Right, but if you got to call, if you got to call one off, you call one off.
And somebody, and they go with an odd number of games?
Yeah, and then if you need to
some
play
team it, plays 56 and some play teams play 60?
If you have to, yeah. And if you've got to come in and play a tiebreaker, you do it. You got to be prepared for the unusual,
but
Mace.
You got to be baseball, ready. Baseball's different because they've got 60 guys available to every team.
Right.
60 guys.
But are they all there?
You can field virtually. You can always field a team if you're carrying 60 guys. I don't think any baseball games. I think guys will test positive. I think guys will be out of the mix. I think guys will. It'll be like a hamstring strain. They'll be gone for 2 weeks because of COVID. I think all that stuff is going to happen. It could be that somebody major tests positive the night of the World Series or the night of the NBA Finals, and they are going to be out. That's just the realistic fact that we're all going to be dealing with, is that our favorite teams can lose a player because of COVID. But I think, and in the case, I don't know how large the squads are that MLS brought back there, but Major League Baseball has expanded their rosters, I think, specifically for this reason. So that if three guys test positive, you're carrying a 30-man roster and another 30-man taxi squad, you can more than make up for that.
I think that you've got to be prepared for the unexpected. Like, today was unexpected, but I don't think it's the end of the world. Like, you'll notice they're not canceling the tournament. They're just canceling this game.
Well, now, though, in this same tournament, Dallas completely dropped out.
Right. So you just move on. And if I would imagine if Nashville has to completely drop out, then, you know, then maybe you start thinking about altering the format. But I think that we've got to be prepared. I mean, this year has been so weird, and there have been so many different obstacles put in front of us. You just have to let people kind of manage these situations. And the MLS is doing that. They're calling off the game, and they're hopefully they can play it either next week or the week after.
And by the way, the LAFC is right now scheduled to play in 6 days. They play the Houston Dynamos down in Orlando. Major League Baseball is now only 12 days away from exhibition ball. Arizona versus the Dodgers preseason game at Dodgers Stadium, and then 16 days away from opening day. That'll be Dodgers versus Giants at Dodgers Stadium. And we're only 23 days away from Lakers versus Clippers. I mean, this is all coming back.
It's a weird thought.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know how on opening day they announce the whole teams and they run out to the baseline and tip their hat?
Yes.
Do you do that even though there's not a crowd?
I don't think you do that. That's mostly for the crowd, isn't it?
But they televise it.
Yeah, it seems like it's unnecessary risk.
You're introducing, I know, like you put them 6 feet different so they would stretch from home plate all the way to the left field foul pole.
Yeah, the idea is, yeah.
It'd be weird. I wonder what they'll do.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of that ceremonial stuff, like, do you play the national anthem if it's just the players?
Yeah, I don't know.
With no fans?
Well, you're going to in the NBA.
In the NBA, you're going to play the national anthem, yeah.
Because a lot of those guys want to protest. But, yeah. That's a great question. Do you do it in baseball? Do you need it? Because, again, I think that the NBA has gone at this and said, all right, what ways can we eliminate risk?
Yes.
Baseball hasn't really done that. Like, they're sending the Dodgers all the way to Houston to play two games and then flying them to Arizona. If they were worried about every possible risk, they would only send them to Texas once. But, you know, I was also looking at this with the Dodgers.
Yep.
Did you notice they only have 9 opponents and 6 of them had losing records last year? The only teams they play that have winning records last season are Oakland, Houston, and I want to see, did Arizona have a winning record?
I think Arizona did, yeah.
Oakland, Houston, and Arizona are it. The other 6 teams that they play all stunk. So they have a very favorable schedule, the Dodgers do, because of these geographics and the way they align the divisions. I think they only have to play 3 teams that had winning records last year.
Yeah, Oakland, 9. Houston, and...
Did Arizona have a winning record last year?
And Arizona. Yep, those are the only 3.
And everybody else, from the Giants to the Padres to the Angels to the Mariners, they all stink. And so the Dodgers have a very favorable schedule. I know it's a short season, but if you were going to draw it up, if you were a Dodger fan, you wanted an easy schedule, this is it.
Yeah, I think some audio is just kicked out of my room. I think that, John, again, I look at the National League West, and the team that scares me is Arizona. Arizona is the team that scares me. They and the Dodgers cannot count on winning this division. It's not going to be easy this year.
I thought you were, the team that scared you was the Padres.
The Padres are also tricky. I think one of these teams is going to get on a run.
Dodgers are going to win, and they're going to win by 5 games.
Dodgers are going to win, and it's going to go down to the last weekend of the season.
Oh, please.
Yeah, it's going to. It's likely to. 60 games is it, man. I mean, were you here the day? Do you realize that the Dodgers have won 7 straight division titles?
Yep.
They've only led after 60 games twice.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting. But, again, Mates, that hasn't been this schedule. That it's been a real schedule playing against good teams. This is a schedule where 6 out of the 9 teams you're facing aren't good. The only teams that conceivably could beat the Dodgers consistently would be the Astros, the A's, and the Diamondbacks. I wouldn't pick any of those other 6 to finish ahead of the Dodgers, would you? Or with a better record than the Dodgers?
No, I'm not going to pick against the Dodgers. I'm just saying it's going to be harder than it looks. 60 games is a sprint. It's going to be a very different kind of season. I've been working with the Dodgers trying to get Andrew Friedman on. You know, one of the things, John, that I think will be the most interesting is, you know, these are the smartest guys in the room, right? Andrew Friedman. How does he manage this particular season? What are the strategies he's going to use for a 60-game season that he wouldn't use for a 162-game season and vice versa? Maybe you start relievers. Maybe that's one of the things you do.
Well, I made this
you go
point
with
while
more
you,
openers
while you were gone. That I wouldn't. Why not? If you're only playing 60 games, that means Walker Buehler is only going to get about 10-11 starts.
Yep.
Why not pitch him every 3 days?
I don't think you want to. I don't think you want to bring him back on every 3 days.
Well, I mean, but it's an option, especially if you're ramping him up.
Yeah, it's not. It's
like if Clayton Kershaw pitches opening day and he only goes 3 innings because you're ramping him up. Could you bring him back and pitch him 3 innings 4 days later or 3 days later?
Yeah, I don't think you're bringing anybody back on 3 days rest. I don't think you are.
Even if they only pitch 3 innings.
I think you want to get starters to get into a rhythm. That's what starters like more than anything, is they like a regular rhythm. Clayton Kershaw has not been good on 3 days rest in his career.
This is true, but he also doesn't normally pitch 3 innings.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine Walker Buehler will wind up throwing, 10-11 starts. He'll throw 55 innings, 60 innings maybe. And that's enough to get ready for a postseason.
Hope so.
I think 60 innings is probably the benchmark if you're talking about 11 starts. Doesn't that seem right?
11 starts. So no, they would pitch more than that. If they throw 11 starts, they're going to go an average of 7 innings a start, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to go an average of 6 innings.
Right. So there's
because I think they're going to start out really. They're going to ramp up really slowly.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, let's get a quick break in. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. So we all agree. We absolutely agree, and have thought for a long time that the Washington football franchise needs to change its name. John, are you surprised that this is actually going to happen?
Yeah, actually pretty shocked. And here's why. Roger Goodell grew up a Redskins fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Snyder has said pretty much, over my dead body will we ever change the name.
Yeah.
And now all of that has changed, so much so that I'm curious what you think about this. Not only do I think the Redskins are going away, I think the Indians are going away. And Mace, if the Indians go away, can you keep the Chiefs and the Atlanta Braves? Can you keep the Kansas City Chiefs and the Atlanta Braves?
That's a really good question.
Well, so the Redskins, do you agree with me that the Redskins and the Indians are both going away?
Yeah. Yeah, here's Terry Francona on the Indians nickname going away.
You know, I've been thinking about it, and actually thinking about it before we put out that statement. I know in the past when I've been asked about whether it's our name or the Chief Wahoo, I think I would usually answer and say I know that we're never trying to be disrespectful. And I still feel that way. But I don't think that's a good enough answer today.
That we decided to fade him down.
Why?
I don't know. That was Terry Francona. All right, so let me just tell you this little story. So I asked my mom about this, and my mom is a very good focus group when you're talking about 78-year-old women. So
your mom's going to be mad that you gave her age up, but go ahead.
So my mom... I asked her about the changing of the nicknames, and she said, it's such an interesting answer. She said, it's just too much. It's out of control. It's just too much. It's out of control.
The
now, she
changing
is 78
of the
years
names
old.
Is out of control?
Or yeah. The Indians is the one that bothers her. The Indians is the one that bothers her. And I've never there's something pejorative about Redskins. I mean, it's literally the color of skin, right?
Yep.
So to me, that is absolutely racist. Is Indians, is that a racist nickname?
Well, here's the thing about this. You can't, if you're not of Indian heritage, you can't decide what is and what isn't offensive. For example, I can't come on here and tell a bunch of Polish jokes and then decide whether or not you get offended.
Right.
I don't get offended by, like, drunken Irish leprechaun jokes. I don't. But other Irish people might.
Yeah, sure.
Stanford.
But has there been a huge outcry? I mean,
well, here,
I
was just going to tell you. Stanford used to be called the Indians.
Yes.
And in the 70s, they said, we don't want to be offensive. We're kind of a liberal college. We don't want to be offensive to people of Indian heritage. We're changing our name to the most inoffensive thing you can think of, a color. They changed it to the Stanford Cardinal, as in Cardinal Red.
Right.
And so the Indians nickname went away specifically because of this. Now,
okay, but see, I agree. For example, they got rid of Chief Wahoo back in 2000. Which is the face with the red face with the big smile that I thought was buffoonish. I thought it made Native Americans look bad. But the name Indians in and of itself, the name Chiefs in and of itself, are these naturally racist? I don't know. Some of these lines I'm not sure about.
I know people get offended by the tomahawk chop. I don't, but I'm not an Indian. So my fear is, though, if you get rid of the Indians, how do you keep the Chiefs? How do you keep the Braves? Isn't it the same thing?
Yeah, is it the same thing? I don't know. I'm curious about this one.
It seems to me that anything that pays tribute, like I know Florida State cut a deal with the Seminole tribe in Florida, and like they have an actual Seminole Indian come and bury a spear at midfield before games, and,
right.
and so they look at it as honoring them.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you get rid of the Indians. Okay, like I thought a really easy thing to change the Indians' nickname would be.
Yeah.
Because everybody calls them this now, is just refer to them as the tribe. But is that offensive?
Right. And then that may be offensive.
Right. But I mean, like if you just called them the tribe, like tribal is not necessarily something associated specifically with Indians. Like you can be tribal and be of different races and cultures. You could be in a tribe.
Right, but we all know what it actually means. It does refer to Native Americans.
Except, like, I when I was in college, I lived with two Jewish guys, and they used to make fun of me. And
well,
they used
Jewish
to say,
people say
Ireland,
they're in the tribe.
Ireland, you're not in the tribe.
Yeah, you're not in the tribe. But that's something Jewish people say.
Right.
You never hear a bunch of Polish people say, yeah, we're in the tribe. That is something Jewish people say.
Right.
All right, I want to circle. Let's circle back around to that, because that's fascinating to me. And coming up next, we've got, I'm getting texts from Momo. Stanford students voted to
change the name to the Robber Barons.
The Robber Barons.
So the university wouldn't accept it, so they imposed Cardinal because so many Ivy Leagues use a color as their nickname.
Okay, there you go. All right, we got the scoop coming up next for you. All the stuff that we haven't talked about yet. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.